The terrain plays a major role, and as you'd expect, an asset on the top of a hill is at a far greater risk just because of the way fire severity travels up hills. But the Alpine region is also quite unique in that it actually receives potentially milder fire weather. So we'd expect far less frequent extreme fire weather events to affect the region. But that in itself isn't necessarily a huge advantage. It just means that there's a much longer time frame between extreme events.
What's your advice for people who live in homes that have been around for a few decades?
There is a lot to be done for retrofitting. I'd encourage them to first to really work through what the local context is. Are they at risk of having direct flame contact from a fire front that's come out of the bush because they're very close? Are they close enough to the bush to receive not flame contact but significant radiant heat from a flame body that's some distance away? Or are they so far away that their main concern is severe ember attack, which can reach many hundreds of metres, and of course is severe even if you are close to the bush and you have radiant heat and flame to deal with? Once you work out that context, you sort of really then start to appreciate how much work you have to do in bringing your house up to standard. And then I'd work through like a hierarchy of risk principle. Like firstly, you would address all of the ember vulnerability features around the house. Ember attack is the main reason why houses burn down in bushfires. Well over 90% of all the houses that have burnt down in the past have actually burnt down without the main fire front directly interacting with the house itself. So you need to address the gaps in the house where embers could enter a roof space or a floor space or a wall area, and all combustible features around the house like decks and doors and windowsills and gutters and eaves where embers can build up and create local flame attacks that can readily develop if they're not attended to into a house fire. And then once you've fully dealt with that as an attack mechanism, then you're either in a really good position then, or if you've also got radiant heat to worry about, then you would go through the issue of determining how you're going to protect your windows from that level of radiant heat. Are the external features on your house readily ignitable at those radiant heat levels? And there's some literature around to help you work through those issues and so on and so on. And then if you're in a position where you've also got direct flame attack to deal with, well, then you've got quite a lot on your plate to have to deal with, and it would be quite unusual for a house built well before any regulation to have what it takes to resist a direct flame attack. So you have to very seriously think about a combination of vegetation management to take away the flame attack, and also the management of radiant heat. So it's like a combination of the two.
What would you like to see come out of the research you've done?
I think a lot of our research really comes back to the fact that building regulation in isolation isn't a solution. Just like planning regulations wouldn't be effective in isolation either, or a community education program in isolation. What our research really points to is the fact that, for example, those three areas actually need to be coupled together in harmony. You could imagine the benefit of like having the landscaping very, very carefully considered, having a house that's built in sympathy to the landscape, so the combination of fire risk or fire intensity arrival and the house's response to that are all appropriate. And then when you walk in to the house, there's a book sitting on your kitchen table when you've got your keys for the first time, and the book fully explains how and why your landscape is the way it is and the building is built the way it is, and how exactly you need to maintain that throughout its design life. If we got to sort of that point as an example, then we'd be really making huge inroads compared to where we currently are.